So the verse for tonight is about the supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. So this is Colossians 1, okay? For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Yes? What's your question?
Is there many heavens, and is there
like
groups of heavens, or
are
they just all combined?
I don't know. I haven't been to heaven. All things have been created through Him. Okay, can I read? Can you just ask question after I read?
Why not?
Not now, after I read this one.
But then I can just
forget it. Aga, ganun ba yun? Okay, so all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether the things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Yes? It's Colossians 1. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So that is Colossians 1. Good night. I will tell you again the other one. Colossians 1. Paul's labor for the church. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. What's your question?
Are you still filming?
Filming? I'm not filming. I'm just recording. Yeah, I'm still recording. Why? So I will not forget what I'm reading. So I will not read again and again. That's why I'm recording. Does it make sense? So do you have any more question? Only that. For the sake of His body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles and glorious riches of this mystery, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for all those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. A spiritual fullness in Christ. This is Colossians 2. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. For He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2, freedom from human rules. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their spiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands,
Mom,
and teachings. Yes?
Is that still Colossians?
Colossians 2.
Colossians.
Colossians to.
It's hard to say.
Because you're not reading it. You need to read the word. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Colossians 3. Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear in Him, with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Good night. Time to sleep, baby.
Huggy hug.
Hug, hug, hug. Good night, night, night.
Can you be next to me?
Huh?
Like close to me.
Okay. Wait, wait, wait.
But maybe I don't know, where I am in the whole mix, but my kids loved winter this year because they actually got to experience snow for the very first time. This winter in Melbourne has been pretty cold right here. It's been pretty cold, and a couple of weekends ago, we were so excited because it was going to be that cold, but in Mount Macedon. Has anyone been to Mount Macedon? Yes, you might know. There's a big cross there. There's I don't think we mentioned the cross, but we found snow. We got the forecast and it said actually there's going to be snow. It's going to be so cold on a Saturday morning that it's going to snow. And if you've ever heard the story, my husband Nigel has been rather scarred for life when it comes to snow. His first experience of snow involved him getting horribly lost with a bright pink bag, and it was demoralizing, and it was not his favorite time in the whole wide world. So consequently, we are not the family that goes to the snow a lot. We do all things to avoid the snow, per se. But we decided this year
see our kids nag us, and we're like, oh, what does he know? So we went, okay. Nigel was a big man. He pushed past himself in his insecurities in the snow. And we braved the snow. And we have pictures to show for it. So on the screen, we're going to show a picture. This is evidence we made it to the snow. As you can see, it's a little bit of snow. We weren't knee deep in snow. But we made it to the snow. There's my cute kids. And we're kind of like trying to show you there's a bit of snow in the background. And this is the one saying, this is your first experience of snow, kids. Then the next picture you'll see is Olaf. We were in the snow, we found Olaf, and I've got to admit, I wasn't smart enough to pack the carrot and make the snowman. So what we did was we adopted Olaf. We took a picture for ourselves and went, look, we made Olaf in the snow, it's amazing. Yes. So I forgot the carrot. I didn't pack the waterproof gloves, so our fingers were freezing at this point. So we found Olaf and we adopted it. But unfortunately, as you can see, he didn't last. Sorry, Olaf. I don't know what happened there. It wasn't our fault. We didn't do it, but Olaf didn't last. Poor Olaf, he got melted. And then the next picture of the experience of the snow. This was this is my daughter's hand, and in her hand you can see something brown. My daughter failed to miss the memo that you don't improvise on the snow part of building a snowman, and a kangaroo poo man doesn't exist. You actually need to not try and build a snowman with kangaroo poo. It was so gross. What is with my daughter and kangaroo poo? She ate it once. It was disgusting. And then, so that was another part of the snow experience. And then you'll see this last photo. This is the cute photo of my family at the snow. And we're all smiles there. You can see Hudson's kind of losing his smile a little bit. Bailey's in an element, enjoying every last bit of this snow adventure. Nigel's being the good dad, and he's got his big smile on. And I'm probably behind the camera, taking the photo going, can I just get out of here? I feel like I was the one of the four that like 10 minutes in went, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm done with snow. This is far too cold. It's far too blah. But I had to dig deep and go, Catherine, just don't be the party pooper for the family. It's okay. Just persevere. It's going to be fine. And so I kept my quiet. I kept my cool. I'm going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And then I think eventually we all decided we've had enough of this snow. Well, most of us had decided it. We were headed to the car probably about 40 minutes in because we hadn't packed waterproof gloves. My fingers were ready to drop off. We endured this snow with no gloves. It was freezing. My toes were ready to fall off as well because I didn't have waterproof boots on. So we're headed to the car and I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm ready to escape this snow thing. It was a lovely and wonderful thought, but I'm out of here. Hudson was like, yeah, you know what? I came, I did snow, I had a great time, and let's move on. That's okay. I'm good with that. Bailey, on the other hand, we got to the car and we hit serious teenager meltdown. I don't want to leave the snow! I don't want to go home! I swear, if I'd let her, she would have camped there and stayed there for the next 10 years because she was in her snow element. She was loving the snow. She was loving the whole experience. She was hilarious. Snow is a wonderful idea, right? It's an idealistic kind of thing. You think about snow and you think about winter and you're like, yeah, snow falling outside and here I am sitting inside with my hot cocoa in my hands and there's a fireplace there and it's wonderful and it's a romantic notion. But the reality of snow is that it's cold and it's wet, like I experienced, like my toes and my fingers experienced at the snow. And if you're not equipped for it without those gloves, it can be slippery, it's cold, it's icy, it's blinding, it's disorienting. It can trap you, you can get snowed in, and it can prevent you from where you need to go. The other side of the reality of snow is that Snow is important to the Earth's climate. I researched this. It regulates the surface of the Earth's temperature, and once it melts, it actually fills rivers and reservoirs all over the world and providing life for mankind and all kinds of creatures alike. Winter, snow, it can be polarizing. It can feel so harsh, yet it's so beautiful. It's such a funny, funny paradox. And when you're in the thick of winter, when you feel the elements of snow and of rain, it's so easy to forget that God actually created this. God created the seasons. God actually created winter. It says in Psalms 104, verse 19, He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. It also says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. God made everything with a purpose in mind, including every single season and every element within that season. Correct, summer bunnies? Those people that love summer and have no idea what the heck winter is doing in the season list? God created it, and He created for a purpose. You know, just in the natural, as there is four different seasons, in our personal lives, we can also experience seasons. Yeah. We can find ourselves in seasons of winter. And today, I know there's so many people here, personally, that are going through seasons of winter. They're finding themselves facing challenges and circumstances, leaving them cold, leaving them numb, feeling dark, that maybe you're disoriented and you're feeling battered by the icy winds, or maybe snowed in and you're feeling like you're snowed in, you're paralyzed, you can't move. And maybe there's people that are screaming just to run. I just need to run, I need to escape this winter. Today my prayer is that you will leave this building knowing that God is with you in each and every season. Yeah. And further to that, He's actually at work with you, even within the winter. I pray this morning that you would realize that in this season of winter, you don't need to stop. You don't need to stop what God has called you to do. You don't need to be stopped from doing what He has and the plan He has for your life. But you can actually still walk through the season of winter, and you can walk through it well with purpose. Today, I want to encourage you around the thought that winter serves a purpose. Winter serves a purpose. And you still have purpose within winter. Winter serves a purpose. God created it on purpose. He created it for a reason. And you still have purpose within your winter. So if you're looking for a title for this message, it would be purpose in winter. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you feeling a bit chilly? Thankfully, the heater works in here today, guys. So we might be talking about winter, but right now we don't have to feel winter. We're nice and warm, we're nice and snug. So hold on tight. We're about to look at one of the characters in the Bible who I feel like smashes out the winter season like no other character in the Bible. And the character we're going to look at is, his name is Joseph. He's not a character, he's actually a real life person. He walks the earth, just so you're aware. But if you want to look and read into the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob, you'll find his life recorded in Genesis from chapter 37 all the way up to 50. So today I'd like for you to get your Bibles out. We're going to read 13 chapters of scripture before we get into this. I'm joking. Woo! No, we're not going to do that. I'm going to summarize for you and it's going to be fabulous. So Joseph was one of 12 brothers to Jacob. So he was one of the 12 of the tribe. He was he was his father's favorite. Does your father actually have a favorite in this room? I don't understand this, but apparently, one does. He was his father's favorite, and this didn't go so well with his brothers, as you could imagine. And neither did the fact that Joseph had dreams, and these dreams, God gave him the ability to interpret these dreams. So this also didn't go down well with his brothers, because one day Joseph had a dream about his brothers bowing down to him. And they're sitting there going, you think you're the favorite? Now you're getting us to bow down to you. This is not cool. We're going to do away with you. So what they do is they try and kill him. Didn't work. So what they do is they sell him into slavery. And it's a horrible situation. What they the brothers then secretly go sell into slavery and then come back to the dad and go, sorry, he was eaten by a ferocious animal. So he devastates his dad. Sends him on a path of slavery. So then Joseph finds himself in Egypt, and he's being brought by a prominent Egyptian official named Potiphar. And it says in Genesis 39 verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, Potiphar. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph actually found favor in the season that he was approaching. He found favor with the Egyptian officer, the official, and then so he was put in charge of his household. So then things happened to go a little bit sour though. You go, yes, great, it worked out for him, he found favor. But then things went a bit sour because the wife of Potiphar decided to advance on Joseph because apparently he's pretty good looking. And then he refused, and so she's sitting there left burnt and goes, well, I'm just going to accuse you of advancing on me, which doesn't go down with Potiphar. So then Joseph lands himself in jail. Yeah. Like, not, he shouldn't have even been there. He was wrongly accused, and he ends up in jail. Ouch.
Yep.
Pretty big winter. It notes in Genesis 40 that sometime later it plays out that the king of the land had some workers that he sent to jail. So these guys joined Joseph in jail, and they have spent some time together. On their exit of jail, Joseph ends up with some hope that maybe the employees of the king, when they leave the jail, they'll put in a good word for Joseph to the king, and maybe he's going to get out. But for some reason, these guys forget to tell the king. That's a big forget, guys. And so then it says in the Bible that 2 years later, a series of events unfolded where Joseph actually gets an audience with the king, finally. And then he interprets a dream for the king. And then he actually ends up being put in charge of all of Egypt. It's an incredible story. He gets given a wife. He gets put robes on. He gets all kinds of things lavished upon him. And he finds himself down the track of being in charge of all these people.
Yeah.
It's an incredible, incredible story. You look at that story and go, wow, there's so much season of winter in there. And it wasn't just a Sydney winter where you're like, yeah, it was cold for a few days and then it got warmer, it was fine. We're talking a Melbourne winter for this guy. It's a long, extended, it's a harsh kind of winter, but he still enjoyed it. He still walked it with purpose. He still walked it with his head held high. And I feel like there's so many things that we can learn from this guy. So if we're going to walk winter well, I think we need to come to the understanding that winter serves a purpose, something that Joseph knew real well. And you're like, okay, yes, winter serves a purpose. What does that look like? Why is this serving a purpose? You know, if we can come to terms with our heart and go, I don't want to push away the winter. I can actually be okay with being in the season of winter. I feel like it helps us walk that season of winter so much better. When we stop sitting there and going, oh, it's too hot. It's too uncomfortable. That feeling of wet rain of, oh, it's too much. If we can go, actually, I'm going to be okay with the fact that winter comes with things like rain. It comes with things like snow. It comes with things that are uncomfortable. So often we sit there, as I was preparing this message, Nigel is sending me an email on holiday packages to Hamilton Island. Because we are in the middle of winter. We're in the thick of it. And we want to escape it. We don't want to have to sit there and go through winter. But if we can understand that it serves a purpose, we can actually walk winter well. And the first purpose that I want to talk about today is winter produces rain. Wonderful. Rain. How do you perceive rain? Do you think rain is a good thing, or do you think rain is an annoying thing at school drop-off when you get stuck? You didn't pack that umbrella. Rain is water that waters seed. And when you water seed, germination happens. And then from germination, growth happens. The right amount of rain at the right time will cause a greater and more fruitful harvest. Your roots will go down deeper, and the crops will stand taller when it's watered well. Without rain, the hard work of sowing seed is actually wasted, because the seed will rot and it will die and it will dissipate. There will be no harvest from it if it's not rained. So if you want anything to grow in your life, you need to water it. You need to water it. You need to embrace that rain. You need to embrace that water. So when you're in the season of winter, when you're looking at things and you're like, it feels so cold and dark, I'm facing so much challenge right now. I'm facing hardship. I'm facing health challenges. I'm facing pressures at work. I'm facing pressures at school. Know that as you embrace that, you're being watered. God is watering you. Yeah. Know that in the midst of your fire, in the midst of the things that are going on in your winter, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the stretch, in the midst of the stripping back, that God is actually at work, and He is watering you.
Yeah.
He's watering the seeds of capacity. He's watering seeds of your character. He is watering seeds of skill in your life. He is at work, and you may not see it just yet. The water might be falling on the soil of your life, and you might not see anything just yet. But actually, something's happening under the surface. There is work going on under the surface. And you don't need to despise what's taking place, but you actually just need to embrace the rain that is coming on your heart, that is coming on your season, that's coming on your soil. You need to embrace it and allow it to do what it needs to do to see you grow. You know, as that growth takes place under the surface, it means that there is a harvest coming. So my second thought of what purpose does winter serve? It produces rain and it preludes the harvest. Winter is the last season you hit before spring. When things begin to bloom, when they flourish and thrive, when the field is ripe for harvest, the bottom line is that we can't skip winter. As much as we want to get away from it, as much as when on that Insta feed pops up of that memory of like 5 years ago when you're across the other side of the world enjoying summer, and here you are in Melbourne in winter and you want to just escape again, you can't escape winter and run away to warmer weather. You can't skip a season, because it's actually the stepping stone to the next season ahead for you. If you skipped winter, the ecosystem would be whacked. The earth would actually be a boiling temperature, and water sources and life would be limited, even if viable at all. It just doesn't work. You can't remove a season. You can't take out a season and expect to get to the next season. You've got to embrace the season and understand that it's working for a purpose. And as mentioned, you need to winter in all of its glory to enable the next season to be fruitful. The growth that you experience from the rain that watered your personal seed is what is setting you up for the season ahead, that is the season of harvest. Joseph went from seasons of winter in slavery, in managing Potiphar's household. Potiphar put him in charge of his household as the slave. And as he was still in slavery, he still chose to embrace that season. And as he did that, and it was watered the seeds of responsibility, the seeds of wisdom, the seeds of capacity and the ability to imagine, that was setting him up. That was his stepping stone to step into all that God had for him. He know, he had a promise that he was going to have people bow down to him, but he needed to endure the winters. He needed to walk through that winter so that he had everything he needed to step on a stepping stone to then head towards the next season of the harvest. There were so many things that were watered in Joseph's heart. The thing we need to do is actually trust the process. Trust the process.
Yeah.
Allow the season to do what it needs to do. Allow the water to come and to nourish and to germinate. We need to allow it, but know with hope that there is a harvest ahead.
Yeah.
That you are not going to stay in that winter, but there is a hope and there is a harvest ahead. Mm. When you know that, when you understand the purpose of winter and what it says, then it makes walking out winter so much easier to walk with purpose, hey?
Right.
You don't have to sit there and think, oh, I'm in winter. I'm going to write it off now. Ugh, I'm in winter. I'm just going to go hibernate for a little bit, as much as you would want to. But you can actually go, you know what? I can walk out winter well.
Yeah.
And I can walk.
Yeah.
With purpose. And you know what? How do we do that? How do we walk out our winter with purpose? I think the way, the key is our thinking.
Yeah.
We need to actually think big and not think small. We need to not allow the season to draw us in into the harshness and the entirety of it all, but we actually need to go, I'm going to choose to think big. And two ways that we can choose to think big is, first up, we need to remember to think big about our God. We need to remember that God is the creator of the season.
Yeah.
So we don't need to be consumed by the season. God actually created the season, and he is bigger than any single challenge that
right.
we might face.
Yeah.
Any single element of that season that might come against us. When we're feeling battered by the winds of the winter, we need to know that actually God is a creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and even further to that, he is with us.
Yeah.
We have a big God, and that big God is not against us, he's
yeah.
for us, and he is with us.
Yeah.
What I love about the story of Joseph is that in the many seasons that he had of winter, every single time it's noted that God was with Joseph. Every single time that he was hit with something like slavery, when he was hit with jail, when he was hit with rejection, when he was hit with all kinds of things, it says that God was with him. When we are in the middle of our winter and we are feeling isolated, when we're feeling like we're all alone, when we're feeling like we're disoriented and we don't know what the next step is, we don't know where is God taking me, you can know and you can trust that your God is big and that he is with you in every single season. When Joseph was sold into slavery, in Genesis 39 verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in the eyes and became his attendant.
Yeah.
He prospered and he found favor smack bang in the middle of winter. It also says when Joseph was thrown into jail later in verse 21, it says the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden.
Yeah.
Even in the thickness, in the middle of your winter, God has kindness for you.
Yeah, yeah.
He has favor for you.
Yeah.
He has protection
yeah.
for you. You know, Joseph could have actually been killed before he got put into slavery, but God's hand was upon him.
Yeah.
His promise was for him.
Yeah.
And he protected him and kept him,
yeah.
even in the biggest of challenges. He's a big God. And he's for us. He goes before us. He's a big God. So can we remember, think big. He's a big God. But you know, if we think a big God, we have to think a big picture.
Yeah.
We've got to understand that, you know, what we face, what we walk, is actually just a small portion. You might be in the middle of winter and going, oh gosh, there is snow all around me. I can't see anything else right now. This is too much for me. But actually, it's only a small part. A small part of a much bigger picture. The season isn't necessarily the end of your story. The winter doesn't stop and there endeth the story. But you know what? There's a big God who's writing a much bigger chapter, a much bigger book. And that winter is only just a small part of a very big story that's setting up for an incredible illustration. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to wake up and go, hey, Catherine, it's not just about you today.
Yeah.
Catherine, stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about your smallness. Stop thinking, don't get brought in, don't get sucked in by that winter that you're facing, by the challenge you're facing, by that pressure you're facing, by that health challenge you're facing. Don't allow it to suck you in, but start to think bigger. Start to believe for bigger. You know, winter is only a quarter of a year. It's only a quarter. There are three other seasons. And winter isn't a never-ending season. It has to come as a start and it has a finish. And it has to come to an end. And you know what? Sometimes you just need to look at your winter and you need to take heart. And you've got to go, actually, no, I might be walking winter, but there are three more seasons that are ahead.
Yeah.
There is a season that is going to bring a harvest. There is a season that's going to bring sunshine and going to bring light. There is a season ahead that's going to bring color.
Yeah.
Take heart. Take heart. Our winter isn't everything. Our winter starts and it will come to an end. Joseph could easily handed in his purpose card and gone, you know what? I find myself in the most weirdest, adverse circumstances in the whole wide world. Team, you can come and sing, play, do what you do. Joseph could have easily have gone, I'm in the middle of winter, this is too high. I'm gonna be a write-off. I'm not going to go about the purpose of God. I'm not going to walk winter with purpose. He had been treated so poorly by his family. He'd been rejected. He'd had everything that was owing to him taken away from him. He'd been sold into slavery. His value and his worth was taken away. He was put in jail wrongfully. But he chose to still walk the season with purpose. He chose to realize that he was part of a bigger picture. You see, years later, when he came back into contact with his brothers, the 11 brothers that like put him in a ditch and then ended up selling him into slavery, the brothers that should have had the best interest for him, that sold him out, when he came back in contact with those, there's a verse in chapter 45 of Genesis. And Joseph reveals to his brothers who he is. And they freak out and go, oh my goodness, this guy is going to be so angry at us. He's going to hate us. He's going to punish us for what we did. But you know, Joseph wasn't able to see the bigger picture. He was able to understand what God was at work doing. And he said, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The hardship he endured, the challenge he endured, he didn't see it as, that was your fault, I shouldn't have had to do this. But he saw it as, actually, God sent me ahead of you. He sent me ahead of you so that I could save lives. What an incredible perspective.
Wow.
Incredible. He could have chosen to see little thinking and to see, all I see is slavery, I see jail, I see oppression, I see rejection. But God chose to see save lives instead. He saw the bigger picture. I remember in 2009, I had my very first exposure of a medical system. I landed in hospital. I had no idea what was going on. I ended up having emergency surgery, and then I came out of that surgery, and I remember, like, it was all a big blur, but I felt like I was in this crazy big as winter. And I came out of that surgery, I was in hospital for a few days, and then I got released. And I remember getting out of hospital, and I was confused. I was so disoriented. I had anesthetic brain. Have you ever had anesthetic brain? It's a real thing. I couldn't wait to make a cup of tea. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. This anesthetic is messing with my brain. But I came out of that, and I was confused, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know up from down. I had the post-surgery blues 3 days in, where I bawled my eyes out for a full half day without stopping. And then I had to do recovery. I was in so much pain. It felt like the biggest winter. But I tell you, God was watering so much more in that season than I could have ever understood in that moment. But looking back on it, I'm so thankful I went through that experience. I'm so thankful I walked that winter, because it helped me to water the seed of empathy and helped me to understand that trying to sleep in a hospital is just ridiculous. And there's people who have to sleep in hospitals night after night. And I can understand that. I get that. It's hard. I walked that season as an events person. I never ever thought I would be here 10 years later as a pastor. Never was on my radar. I never thought I would ever be a pastor in my life. But coming out of that season of winter and experiencing the having to sleep in a hospital, those beeping machines all night, those people that are pricking my arm and keep taking things out and are trying to do things to me, I'm like, and the pain that is associated with having to recover from surgery and that flipping anesthetic brain, it's not great. It's a horrible winter. But I went through that, and out of that, I can now sit here as a pastor and go, I see. I know what you are walking through. It wasn't in vain. Your winter is not in vain, and you don't have to be taken out by your winter, but you can know that God is still with you in your winter, and He is working through you in your winter, and you don't have to hibernate. You do not have to get taken out, but you can allow the water and the rain to water the seeds that are in your heart. He can water the seeds of empathy. He can water the seeds of compassion. He can water the seeds of capacity. He can cheer you on even in the winter.
Even in the winter, it's serving a purpose.
purpose. The team are going to sing and we're going to worship, but why don't you just lean in a moment longer? Seal that in their hearts. people that never knew that there was a God that was for them, that never knew that even in the hard times that there could be a God that would walk beside you, that a God that they could call friend. This morning I'd like to introduce you to the best friend you could ever make, and his name is Jesus. It says in the Bible that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the beauty of it is you don't have to get everything together. You don't have to tick the right boxes or check the right things to come to Jesus. You just need to come to him just as you are. And this morning, if you want to say yes to a Savior, if you want to say yes to Jesus, who will weather those storms with you in those winters, I'm just going to ask you if we would all close our eyes just for privacy. If you want to start a relationship with Jesus and receive his forgiveness for your life this morning and start a brand new chapter, I'm just going to ask you to be bold and to raise your hand on three, just so that I know who I'm praying for. One, two, three. If you want to pray a prayer saying yes to Jesus, just raise your hand. Thank you. So good. Awesome. We are all going to pray a prayer as a church family, and this prayer just invites Jesus into your heart and acknowledges that you don't have it together, but you receive his forgiveness, and you're about to start a faith journey with a Savior and a God in heaven who loves you. So all together as a church family, after me. Dear Jesus, I want to be a Christian, a follower of you. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that I've been washed clean. And I thank you for the new journey ahead. I look forward to walking the rest of my days hand in hand with you. In Jesus' name, the faithful church says, amen, amen. I'm going to ask Nigel to come up and share.
Amazing. Can we give it up for Catherine? What a word for this season. And, spring is coming, amen. Who's believing for spring? Who's believing for a harvest? And what a great word. And, Catherine, you are. It's always summer with you, my love. It's always summer with you. Sunshine, happy days. But hey, if you prayed that prayer just a moment ago, I'd love to give you a gift from our church to you. It's a New Testament Bible, and it's just been beautifully illustrated. And, straight after the service, our team will be at the doors just simply waiting this. Simply just go up to them and say, look, I prayed that prayer. Can I have a gift? We'd love to give you. It's a free gift from our church. We really want you to take it home, mark the day, and start reading it from a point of view where, God is there for you, and he's absolutely loving you, and read it as a love letter to you, and as a guide for your path. So, why don't we give every single person a big round of applause for reading it. Amazing. Well, tonight, we have got Sunday Night at the Movies, and it's going to be great tonight. A great night to come out and hear the word of God, hear the gospel. Great opportunity for us to bring our friends as well. So, but can I pray for you before we finish off? Father, I just want to thank you again for your word. Thank you for the season that you have for us, Lord. And I just pray, God, as we walk out of this place, Father, we pray that you'll go before us. We ask for your favor and your blessings and opportunities, Father, to share your love with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. We just share with you tonight.